Minitrew Productions is proud to present Fireside Radio Theater in The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. This adaptation of Washington Irving's classic American ghost story was written exclusively for Fireside Radio Theater and recorded in front of a live audience on Halloween night 2014. This presentation is part of the Fireside Archive, a collection of recordings from Fireside's first five seasons. As always, Fireside Radio is on a mission to bring the drama and imagination of the golden age of radio to a modern listening audience. And now, Fireside Radio Theater presents The Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Tonight is a good night for ghost stories. Wouldn't you agree? There's something about the crackling of a campfire and being surrounded by the dark, still blanket of night pierced by a few pinpricks of starlight that rouses an urge to speak of the unseen and the unknowable. Cinders rise from the fire towards the night sky and leave their smoky wisps like spectral bodies. The ghost stories cling to the firelight. They like it here. They dance among the shadows and flames, playing tricks of their size and shape. And just as quickly as they've caught your attention, they're gone. There you sit, wondering if what you just heard or saw was real. You'll lay awake in your beds tonight thinking about it. Tonight's grim tale is one of those ghost stories spun during the earliest days of our country. It was born in the very cradle of the American Revolution, the misty hills that surround the Hudson River. About 2 days' ride on horseback north of New York City, you'll find a small, almost unnoticeable village that is known as Sleepy Hollow. Its position on the river made for quite a bit of hustle and bustle during the Revolution as British and Patriot forces moved through the area after battles in nearby Manhattan and White Plains. Just like any other area of this great country that's seen the horrors and carnage of war, a certain specter and feeling of unease hangs in the trees that cling to the rocky riverbanks. The village was a farming community of mostly Dutch families who'd lived there for several generations. Windmills dotted the landscape, tucked into the rolling hills. In the summer, the boys would race down to the riverbanks from the schoolhouse and swim across to escape the summer swelter. In autumn, the orchards would give up their apples and the fields would give up their grain. The families of the village would feast together and send their young back to school. School. That's where we'll start. At the schoolhouse. There's a new teacher coming to town to start the new school year. That's him now. All long of limb and lanky of frame. See him? That crooked, beaked nose. That's him, all right. That's Ichabod Crane, the new schoolmaster. Locking up the schoolhouse after his first day with his pupils.
Pardon me, sir. Master Crane, is it?
Yes, indeed, sir. And whose acquaintance do I have the pleasure of making this fine evening?
Oh, just a simple farmer who's done rather well for himself. Van Tassel. Baltus Van Tassel. I own the windmill down by the river there and all of the land up to that hill. Come to meet my new neighbor, that's all.
Ah, wonderful. Why, I must admit that I have been a bit bereft of companionship since I arrived here last week. Other than the grocer and the bookseller and then the children today, I don't think I've spoken to anyone in several days. It's wonderful to meet you, sir.
My wife Cornelia and I were just talking to the magistrate the other morning, and he mentioned we had a new schoolmaster taking over the schoolhouse this year. Seeing as the schoolhouse is practically in my backyard, I rather like to keep up with its goings-on and help when I can. After all, a good education is a firm foundation for a good life.
I couldn't agree more, Master Van Tassel.
Baltus, please.
Oh, very well, Baltus. I admire your attention to our needs and the responsibility you feel for the education of the village's young minds. There are a few things I could believe would be help me better equipped to teach. There are quite a few students, and the schoolhouse could use some repairs, and a few new desks, among other things.
That's what I love about a new schoolmaster. If you ask them what they need, they're never afraid to just tell you right away. I'd like to invite you to dinner at my house tonight. It will be a rather large gathering. It always is. We have a way of attracting half the village every time we sit down at the table. I'd like to know more about you, and I suppose you'll want to know all about Sleepy Hollow. So let us break bread together, shall we? Maybe you could tell me about some of those things you might need for the schoolhouse. My cooks are roasting the first game of the autumn hunt, and we'll be finishing it off with one of Cornelia's fresh apple pies. It will be positively exquisite. You simply must join us.
That sounds wonderful, Baltus. Of course I'd love to come. Thank you for your hospitality.
No trouble. No trouble at all. Perhaps you'd like a ride back home before you come for dinner. My horse and cart are just over there. I'd be glad to give you a ride to wherever you're going.
Well, if I'm to be dining with you this evening, I shan't need to go to the grocer now. Therefore, I suppose I have nowhere to go at the moment.
Where are you staying? I apologize for the barrage of questions. In a village this small, it's incredibly exciting to meet anyone at all new. We usually kill guests with all the questions we ask.
No, of course. I've actually been staying in the schoolhouse. There's a small mattress in the back room next to the wood stove.
Good Lord, man! That's where you've been sleeping for a week now? Heavens, I should have come down here sooner.
Really, Baltus, it's not been all that bad.
Nonsense. You're a guest of this community, and you've not been taken care of. Get your things this instant. I demand you come and stay with Cornelia and the girls and me. We have more bedrooms than we know what to do with and enough food to feed half the hollow. The least we can do is give the schoolmaster a place to come to outside of his dreary schoolhouse walls.
Up Ichabod climbed, all long of limb and lanky of frame, into Baltus Van Tassel's waiting wagon. A tired cart horse named Winifred huffed and sputtered to life. And the two men rode up the gently sloping hills that ran along the riverbank. It was a rather long ride to Van Tassel's house, and Ichabod was impressed by what he saw along the way. The Van Tassel farm had been in the family since the first Dutch settlers came to these secluded shores some 5 generations prior. In that time, it had grown from a tiny plot of land that lay in the shadow of the family windmill to a tract of many acres that spanned the highest hills visible from the hollow all the way down to the river and down to where the schoolhouse stood. Ichabod was amazed at the size of Van Tassel's home, which they continued to approach at a tortoise's pace as Winifred plodded along the well-worn trail. When he first spied it from the schoolhouse, Van Tassel's home seemed fairly large atop the far-off hill. The closer they got to the residence, however, the larger Ichabod was able to see that it truly was. It towered 3 stories above the lawn that spread out before it, dotted with sagging willow trees and gnarled oaks older than Sleepy Hollow itself. Ichabod's brain raced with calculations of how many acres Van Tassel must own, how much livestock, how much property. The thought of the enormous wealth of a man like Baltus Van Tassel made Ichabod's cheeks flush. Never count your neighbor's gold, his mother had told him as a boy. He drummed those words into his head and focused on the overgrown Dutch farmhouse at which they were quickly arriving.
Well, here we are. Home sweet home. Clarence, take old Winifred back to the stable. Charles, take Master Crane's bag and trappings up to the guest room on the 2nd floor. Ichabod, come with me. You are going to relax and have a wonderful time. Ah, I see the evening's madness has already begun.
It's quite a spirited group, Baltus. I suppose it's to your credit that this many people bring frolic and merriment to your doorstep every night.
It'll be my undoing. They'll eat me out of house and home one day. Cornelia, my love. Well, there you are. Look what I found. It's the new schoolmaster, Ichabod Crane. Ichabod, I'd like you to meet the lovely and brilliant Mrs. Van Tassel.
Why, Mrs. Van Tassel, the pleasure is all mine. I see that your husband was not lying when he said he'd married the most radiant woman in all of the Hudson River Valley.
Lovely. How charming, Master Crane. Come, have a seat. Make yourself comfortable. Sarah, could you bring Master Crane a cup of cider? I'm sure he needs it after a day with his pupils.
I couldn't. I just couldn't possibly.
Master Crane, don't be ridiculous. You mustn't turn down a drink in the Van Tassel house. It just isn't done.
Fine. Just one. in the spirits of being a guest, mind you. I don't usually drink, so please don't be offended.
You don't usually drink? How have you not died of thirst?
Yes, yes, quite funny. I usually refrain from imbibing any alcohol. I find that it dulls the senses, and I'm not one who cares much for that. I'm rather sensitive to its effects.
Well, it's easy to see why. Master Crane, don't take this the wrong way, but you look as if you haven't eaten in years. How long have you been living at the schoolhouse and starving?
Well, I arrived here from Connecticut last week and immediately took up residence in the schoolhouse. It was no trouble, ma'am, I assure you. As for my lean physique, that is, unfortunately, just the way the Lord formed me. I actually have quite a voracious appetite. No matter what I do, however, I just can't seem to gain much weight.
Well, consider yourself lucky, Master Crane. Baltus, if you don't object, I'd like to have the kitchen start serving dinner.
Ah, no, of course. Dinner shall be served. Margaret, go fetch your sister from wherever she is. Excuse me. We're about to begin dinner service. If you'd like to stay and dine with us, please find a seat. Fiddler, strike up something for us to consume by.
As Ichabod found a seat near Van Tassel's at the head of the table, he watched some of the crowd empty out an open door and spill loudly into the street. A few stayed behind to bid farewell to the master and lady of the house. Even fewer found their seats at the table. By the time it all shook out, Ichabod was one of about 10 people seated for dinner. Among them were Cornelia and Baltus, their two youngest daughters, the magistrate and his wife, two of Baltus's business associates, and one old woman who sat alone at the far end of the long farm table. Ichabod was taking stock of them all when he felt a delicate hand fall on his shoulder.
Pardon me, sir, but you're sitting at my place.
Ichabod's gaze began at the long-fingered, gentle hand he found on his upper arm. It continued up to the petite wrist that was attached to the hand, up the lace-clad arm attached to that, all the way up to the person who stood at the beautiful arm's end. Ichabod sat gaping wordlessly at the young woman whose seat he'd just stolen.
It is I who should beg pardon, my fair lady. Had I known someone as enchanting as yourself should occupy this seat, I would never have defiled it with my low personage.
My, you have a way with words. You're more than welcome to sit beside me. It's just that I usually sit on this side of my father.
By all means. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm Master Ichabod Crane.
Katrina Van Tassel.
Katrina, there you are. Your sister looked all over the house for you.
There was her first mistake. I wasn't in the house until moments ago. I had gone for a stroll along the river before taking dinner.
Katrina.
It's hard not to. It's so foggy out there. Master Crane, it is unfortunate that you arrived during such a dreary time of year. In spring or summer, our hollow is some of the most beautiful land in the country. But as soon as the harvest comes in and the children go back to school, the fog settles in around the hills and turns the valley gray for autumn.
Oh, Miss Van Tassel, I beg to differ. I noticed a great many hues throughout Sleepy Hollow. The trees are painted a medley of colors from chestnut to cinnamon to fiery red. The apples coming in bushels are crisp and red and green. The hollow is one of the most wonderfully colorful places I've ever had the pleasure of seeing.
Ladies and gentlemen, dinner is served.
Wonderful. Everyone, eat your fill.
Though Ichabod had been eating, despite his appearance, he had not been eating this well. Stewed rabbit, roast pork, fresh vegetables, brown bread with bright yellow butter, and apple cider to drink. The table seemed to sag from the weight of all the platters of food. Abundance suited Van Tassel, and the old man seemed to enjoy watching all of his guests eat out of his food and drink of his stores. Ichabod found his mind wandering as he watched the gracious host. The man is a pillar of the community, Ichabod thought. His wealth is only exceeded by his generosity, and the people of the town love him for it. Ichabod imagined himself at Van Tassel's place at the table, doling out smiles and plates piled high to his guests. Ichabod knew that someday he'd be the one with the big house and the generous hand. Would he be like Van Tassel, offering kindness and sharing his wealth? Or would Ichabod behave as his own father had, living on nothing, hoarding every penny, never enjoying his wealth, never sharing it with others. As the lanky schoolmaster sat pondering these things, a gentle voice broke the silence.
Master Crane?
Hmm?
Is your dinner to your liking?
Oh, yes, it's lovely. I shall have to meet your cook and tell him what wonderful work he did with all of this.
Well, I think you might find that a very interesting and confusing experience.
Why is that?
Because he is an 82-year-old Dutch woman who doesn't speak a word of English and would probably chase you out of the kitchen with a wooden spoon.
Why, Master Crane, it would seem that you and Katrina are getting along quite well, especially considering that you had taken her seat to begin with.
Oh, Baltus, stop it. You're making our guest blush.
Well, I didn't mean to.
Oh, Crane, calm yourself. I was only having a little joke.
Any room food left for old Brom?
Brom! I didn't think you were coming.
Oh, wonderful! Everyone, Brom is here! Master Crane, I'd like to introduce you to Abraham von Brunt. Everyone calls him Brom Bones. Brom, this is Ichabod Crane. He's been appointed our new schoolmaster.
Crane, eh? Very good. Needed a new schoolmaster. The old one was a bit old.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. von Brunt.
Move over, Crane. You're in my seat.
I'm terribly sorry. I didn't realize.
But before Ichabod could answer that he couldn't move down or else he'd be sitting in the magistrate's lap, Brom pulled up another chair and slid it up to the table between Ichabod and Katrina. From then on, it became impossible for Ichabod to carry on a conversation with the young Miss Van Tassel. Her eyes and ears were glued to Brom and his loud, exaggerated stories of fights and races. Ichabod found himself rolling his eyes at the foolishly tall tales the young man was spinning.
So what did you do then?
Well, I wasn't going to let him get the better of me. I had a small cask of gunpowder that I'd brought from my father's hunting stores, and we put that in the path of the carriage. When it came ripping around the bend, we lit the fuse and blew the redcoats to smithereens! No man can best Brom. Not in the Hollow, not anywhere. I don't care whose army you fight for.
So brave.
You fought in the war?
You could say that. A lot of people around here would say I helped to win the war.
Curious?
What's curious?
Oh, nothing. It's just that you look to be about 25 or 26, am I right?
I don't really know. We've never really kept track of that sort of thing.
I just think it's curious that the Continental Army would have admitted someone who was only 5 or 6 years old. You must have entered at a desperate time during the war for them to have accepted a child not even old enough to attend school.
Are you calling me a liar?
No, not at all. I'm just trying to clear up some math for myself and for Miss Von Tassel.
Listen, teacher! Call me a liar again and we can step outside so I can teach you a thing or two.
Brom, he didn't mean...
He didn't mean to anger a beast, but that's exactly what he did. Crane, now, let's go outside. We have business.
Brom, 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 relax, please. Master Crane meant no harm. Look at him. He's as gentle as they come. He wasn't trying to get a rise out of you.
It's true. I was only... Never mind. Each time I speak, I seem to get into more and more trouble.
Brom, please sit down.
I believe my appetite has waned a bit. Perhaps I ought to take the night air? If you'll excuse me, I'd like to walk to clear my head.
Ichabod kept his eyes fixed on the door as he gently stepped down the length of the room. The magistrate looked at him sideways as he passed, and Ichabod felt shame wash over him like a hot wave. He quickened his pace to the door, barely hearing the old lady who sat alone at the end of the table as he passed. But he could have sworn he heard her say,
"Beware."
Ichabod walked as if in a dream, carried on the wings of his shame. All his life it had been this way. Since he was a boy, the Brom Bones of the world had pushed him around and made a fool of him. It didn't matter that Ichabod was eloquent and well-read. He always found himself stammering whenever he had to defend himself. A sting of tears welled up in the schoolmaster's eyes as he brought his sleeve up to his face to immediately quell the emotional betrayal. Even alone on the riverbank, with only the gently flowing Hudson to witness his tears, Ichabod was not willing to let his hurt and anger show. After tiring himself for an hour or two, pacing up and down a short stretch of the water,
Ichabod found his feet carrying him back towards the house high atop the tallest hill on the property. Its glowing windows seemed to beckon the schoolmaster. As he approached the stately farm, which stood partially cloaked in shadow, Ichabod saw a faint light of a candle flickering on the front porch. The closer he got, he could see whose candle it was. In a rocking chair, Katrina sat reading by the light of a solitary flame.
We were starting to wonder if you'd ever come back.
I apologize for my departure. I was feeling a bit out of sorts.
I'm sorry. Someone should have told you not to play with Brom. He plays a lot rougher than most.
No, the fault lies with me. I should know better than to correct strangers.
All the same, you don't have to back down so easily. Brom will talk and talk and talk about going outside and settling things up. But it's mostly just the ale talking, and even when it isn't, he's distracted and moved on to another story in a moment's time.
Well, he certainly does know how to intimidate people. He's a rather large fellow.
He's large, but he's a gentle giant.
Not from the stories he was telling. Gunpowder and redcoats and war, even if it all was lies, it's still quite the violent tale.
He's always trying to convince everyone how tough he is. It's a shortcoming, but he doesn't mean any harm. Don't take it so personally. You city folks are so sensitive.
I resent being referred to as city folk. I'll have you know that I grew up on a farm not unlike this one and spent most of my youth hunting, racing horses, and hauling lumber.
Did you really? I never would have guessed.
That's because it's completely untrue. I was a boy in Hartford and lived in the center of downtown. My father practiced law and my mother kept the house.
This time you were the one inventing tall tales.
Well, I saw how much you like liars and I thought it wouldn't hurt to try. So, what are you reading?
Malleus Maleficarum. Do you know it?
The Witch's Hammer. Of course I do. It's one of the few books I brought with me. It's a favorite of mine.
I've never read it before. It seems a little outdated.
Oh, I beg your pardon, but you couldn't be any more wrong. What it has to say about people who might practice the dark arts, how to discover them, and how to get them to confess to their evil ways is fascinating.
Well, I suppose I'll have to read more of it before I discover its true genius. Are you reading anything at the moment, Master Crane?
If I'm going to be staying with you and your family, I insist that you call me Ichabod. And no, I'm not currently reading anything. I haven't had time with all of the school preparations and trying to get my bearings in a new town.
What a terrible shame. A man of your insight and intelligence should always be reading. Perhaps if someone interesting gave you a tour of the town, you'd know your way around a little better, and it would leave you free to pursue other interests.
Whom might I seek out to obtain such a tour?
Having lived in Sleepy Hollow all my life, I think I might be uniquely suited to the task. The only trouble with that is that I'm rather well known as Baltus Van Tassel's daughter, and if I were to give you a tour of town, it would take twice as long as anyone else, because we'll have to stop and talk to everyone who lives in Sleepy Hollow. But we could work around that impediment as well.
And how do you propose we do that?
I could show you around town now while all of Sleepy Hollow is in bed.
Oh, I don't know. It's rather late.
Oh, no. It's terribly late. That's half the fun. Haven't you ever done something you weren't supposed to just for the sheer thrill of it?
No. I'm a schoolmaster.
Not tonight, you're not. Tonight you're just Ichabod Crane, Sleepy Hollow's newest resident, who gets a guided, private, historical tour led by the village's most eligible bachelorette. How does that sound?
It sounds lovely.
Katrina led Ichabod around the back of the Van Tassel house to the path that led down the hill facing away from the river and towards the small village below. As the two ventured closer to the edge of Van Tassel's property, the warm glow of the house's windows faded into the autumn mist, and Ichabod and Katrina found themselves traveling with only the bone-colored moon to light their way. Katrina reached back and took Ichabod's hand under the auspices of helping the schoolmaster find a path in the dark. The young schoolmaster, however, suspected a hint of flirtation in the gesture.
It all looks so different at night.
The buildings are all painted white so you can see them in the dark.
It makes it look like a picture print during the day, like a painting or something.
Come here. I want to show you something.
Katrina, perhaps we should keep our voices down. I would imagine people are trying to sleep.
Oh, don't be so cautious, Ichabod. You need to have a bit more fun. Look.
I will not. You shouldn't be looking through anyone's windows. It's terribly impolite.
Will you be quiet and look?
My heavens. I've never seen so many books, and that globe, it must be 3 feet across. Whose home is this?
Magistrate Wilmoth. He has more books than any man in town. He had them brought here in 7 carts when he arrived in town when I was a girl.
Does he loan them out? I should love to see what he has on his shelves.
So would most of Sleepy Hollow that can read. But here we are, peeking through his windows after dark and talking about what books he might have in there. Wilmoth puts on a smiling face and breaks bread with the people of the Hollow, but he does so at my father's table. No one that I know of has ever set foot inside his house. A smile is all you'll get from him. He's a bit stingy with everything else.
Where are you going now?
Our next stop on the tour, and away from the magistrate's house. You should too. You look suspicious peeking through his windows. Come on, catch up.
What's next?
This.
The church?
No, the churchyard. Specifically, the gravestones. There are more soldiers from both sides of the war buried together here than anywhere else in New York.
Very interesting. How did you know that?
My nan used to let us play here after church on Sundays.
Playing in a graveyard? That seems rather macabre.
No, it was wonderful. From the time I was old enough to read, I would look at the names and dates on these stones and imagine the lives that went with them. All of the heroes, all of their enemies, all of the rich old men and widowed old ladies. There must be hundreds of them.
You're a very unusual girl, Katrina.
How so?
Well, first I find you reading Malleus Maleficarum. Then you take me to a graveyard in the dead of night. Miss Van Tassel, are you trying to bewitch me?
Master Crane, how could you accuse me of such a thing? I've always been such a godly young woman.
You know, now that you mention it, it is rather peaceful out here.
That's because you're not alone. Once I stayed out here too long after a town meeting had ended. Mother and father had taken the carriage back to the house, thinking that I was asleep inside. I was 8 years old and it got dark very fast. By the time they realized they'd left me, I had already run halfway home. This place is beautiful when you're with a friend, but alone by yourself, it's a very different experience.
Why, Katrina, you have nothing to fear as long as I'm with you. All the same, I'd really like to start walking back up to the house. I prefer not to venture too far afield in the night.
Are you afraid of the dark, Master Crane?
No. Yes.
Then you don't worry. As long as we're together, I'll protect you. Here, let's go this way.
Wait, someone's coming.
Looking out through the churchyard gates and down the main street of the village, Ichabod was able to make out the shape of a single person, awkwardly making their way down the road. With the mist that hung in the air, the shape seemed to appear from nowhere. It was bent and hobbled, taking a long step and a short step, then a long step, then a short step, all the way up the road. The closer the person got to Ichabod and Katrina, he could make out features. It was the old woman he'd seen earlier sitting alone at the end of Baltus Van Tassel's dinner table. She shuffled up the street, not noticing the 2 onlookers who watched her every move.
Who is that woman?
That's old Greta. She's a bit of a Sleepy Hollow legend herself.
What do you mean?
There are 262 people in this village. Out of every one of them, not a single soul knows anything about Greta. We don't even know if her name really is Greta. Even the oldest people of the village can't remember a time when Greta didn't live here.
And what does she do?
What do you mean?
What is her profession? Does she work?
She does this. She shuffles around town. She talks to herself. She walks up and down the main road all night long. Back and forth from the covered bridge on the way out of town, all the way to the churchyard and back. Brahm and his friends followed her for a few nights to see where she goes. That's where she goes. Back and forth up the main road for hours.
Has anyone ever spoken to her?
Not that I know of. People have tried. She comes to my father's house every night for dinner. We've fed her almost every night that I can remember. No one in my family has ever heard her voice. Maybe she can't speak English, but she's never responded to any Dutch either.
Absolutely fascinating.
I suppose so, yes. I forget because old Greta has always been here. I rarely even think about her. She doesn't do anyone any harm, so no one notices her too much.
It's really getting quite chilly out here. Perhaps we ought to be headed back now?
You were sporting enough, I guess. All right, let's be on our way.
Back through the darkness and the fog, Ichabod and Katrina made their way. The hill back up to the house was steep, and several times Ichabod lost his footing and almost fell. Once at the top, he looked back out over the sleeping little village. The moonlight shone on the white buildings and illuminated the streets just enough for Ichabod to see one lone woman awkwardly plodding back from the churchyard, bent and hobbling. Something about it chilled him.
You're listening to the Fireside Radio Theater production of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. We'll be back for the second half of the show in just a moment. But first, did you know you can support Fireside Radio with your dollars as well as your ears? Well, you can. Stop over to the Fireside Radio Theater page at patreon.com and help Fireside Radio keep their digital doors open, cranking out new shows and giving you all the bread and circus your ears can handle. Fireside Radio is written and produced entirely by volunteers working under subpar conditions and against impossible arbitrary deadlines. And any help you can offer is greatly appreciated. And now, back to Fireside Radio Theater's production of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
The next morning, Ichabod woke late after oversleeping from the previous night's adventure. He saw Katrina only briefly at the breakfast table, and they didn't speak of their late-night adventure in front of Baltus and Cornelia. They did, however, exchange a few glances over their morning meal that made Ichabod so happy, he practically floated down to the schoolhouse to begin his day's work. Throughout the day, he found his mind wandering as he taught. Though he talked of subtraction and the history of the Roman Empire, he dreamt of Katrina. Her wisps of blonde hair and bright blue eyes distracted his every thought. He imagined them married and with a large family. Ichabod thought of Katrina with a babe on her lap and another playing on the floor as he sat in an overstuffed chair reading from his extravagant library. As the children of his class took lunch outside along the riverbanks, Ichabod pictured he and Katrina growing old and plump together, walking the boundaries of the Ventassel land. Their land. His land. It was with a head full of these thoughts that Ichabod beat a path back up the road to Ventassel's house, as fast as his feet would carry him. He practically skipped across the covered bridge that stood at the fork of the road where one fork led into the center of town, and the other wound its way up to the Ventassel residence. Taking his long and reaching steps, Ichabod straightened his tie and repositioned his shirt collar as he opened the door to the parlor of the house. Schoolmaster! There you are! We were just talking about you!
Brom, so good to see you again.
Hello, Ichabod.
Katrina, you look beautiful. Each day more lovely than the last.
What about you? Every time I see you, you look skinnier. Baltus, what's going on? Are you starving the poor schoolmaster?
No. I've been splendidly taken care of. How do you all find yourselves this evening?
Oh, we find ourselves just lovely this evening.
Ron, don't be rude. Ichabod, how was the day today?
Absolutely wonderful. We covered subtraction, the fall of Rome, and the idea of a representative democracy. All in all, productive and interesting day.
Oh, yes, it sounds like it. Tell me, Crane, when you talk to the children, do you notice that they begin to fall asleep as soon as you open your mouth, or does it take a little while? I'm only kidding, Crane. Don't look like I just squirted lemon juice in your eye. I was only fooling around. I'll bet you know a lot of interesting things. Katrina says you read a lot.
Why, yes, Brom. I find reading to be enjoyable and worthwhile. Do you like to read?
Not particularly. My feeling is, why read about things when you can go out and do them instead?
A man of action, I see.
I like to tell stories, though.
Yes, I've noticed. I'll wager that you can tell a fine story.
Well, what kind of story do you like best, Crane?
Well, first and foremost, the classics. I have quite a collection back in my office in Connecticut. I only brought a few with me. I quite like stories of the supernatural.
What's that?
Ghost stories, Brom.
You like a ghost story, eh, Crane? Well, you're in luck. I know all the best ghost stories. Maybe you'd like to hear one.
Hello, Ichabod. It's so wonderful to walk into my parlor and see your face. I trust Brom isn't giving you too much grief.
No, sir. Brom and the schoolmaster are getting along famously, aren't we, Crane?
Oh, yes. Famously.
Good to hear. I won't have quarreling under my roof, boys. I won't have it. Katrina, go get your sisters and tell them it's time for dinner. It looks like it's just us tonight. Well, us and Greta. Cornelia?
Yes, love.
Have the cook pour us something special tonight. I want to eat and drink the best with this small group of friends.
Eat and drink the best they did. The kitchen laid out another astounding feast, which looked even bigger than the night before. Van Tassel sat at the head of the table, hand in hand with his lovely wife. Unfortunately for Ichabod, Brom sat between he and Katrina. Ichabod attempted to ignore this fact, but he was reminded of it occasionally when one of the loud stories Brom was telling got a little too ridiculous, or when one of Brom's lackeys, whom Ichabod found himself seated across from, tried in vain to make conversation. All the while, Ichabod watched down the table, where old Greta sat, alone, staring down at her plate as she sloppily consumed everything within reach. She ate like a voracious animal, disregarding her utensils and making liberal use of both hands. Occasionally, she would stop and look up with a stare that could have put a hole in a brick wall. Then, without warning or cause, she would descend once again on her meal. After a long while, the plates were empty and the conversations were a little less lively. Cornelia was the first to say farewell. The lady of the house said her good nights and climbed the stairs to the master bedroom. Baltus found a seat by the window and lit his pipe, staring out across the moonlit land that he called home. Ichabod took a seat by the fire and kept an eye on Brom, who had been quietly whispering to Katrina all night. When they laughed together at their secret little jokes, something inside of Ichabod shattered. You say you like ghost stories, Crane. You know, there's a lot of ghosts with stories in Sleepy Hollow. Have you ever heard of the Dark Sword?
No, I don't believe I have.
Katrina, you took him down to the village in the middle of the night and you didn't tell him about the Dark Sword? Shame on you.
I didn't want to scare the poor fellow.
Didn't you hear him? He likes the ones about the ghosts and ghouls. I don't think our schoolmaster scares easily. Ichabod, surely you'll want to hear about the Dark Sword.
I can hardly wait.
Well, back before the English came over and this country was just Dutch and Indian, there was a particularly ruthless warrior tribe in the hills called the Okanoba. Now, the Okanoba didn't share the same respect for life that their other native brothers did. They made a habit of raiding Dutch farming villages and looting Dutch fur trading ships up and down this stretch of the river. No one ever survived their brutal attacks. Stripped ships would run aground on the river, crewed by corpses. Villages burned under the raiders' torches. It was chaos. Finally, a nameless Dutch farmer who'd been a soldier in his younger days decided he'd had enough. He followed the Okanoba scouts and found where the tribe was encamped. There were 137 of them. The farmer fell on them silently as they slept and slew them all. Every man, woman, and child in that camp died that night. A more efficient and stealthy attack has never been made. He killed them all. All except one young brave who'd gone to the river for a late night swim. The young brave came back
and killed the farmer most brutally. It's said that it took hours. He tortured him relentlessly up to the point of death, and then dumped his body in the river. They say if you walk along the riverbanks at night, you'll see him, his sword black with blood and dangling at his side as he searches for the 137th Okanoba brave who killed him.
That's quite a story, Brom. Is it true?
You can't ask if a ghost story is true or not, Ichabod. It ruins the fun.
Well, we wouldn't want to have that now, would we?
Isn't it a good one? I love the dark sword.
Yes, yes, it's splendid.
What about the horsemen? You can go on and on about the dark sword all you want to. For a truly good scare, you have to tell him about the horseman.
You know, I had a run-in with him once, the horseman.
Oh, Brom.
It's the truth, I did. Once, after riding back from the city late at night, I arrived on the Sleepy Hollow side of the covered bridge. I stopped for a moment to relieve myself, and I heard something behind me. When I turned, there he was. The horseman sat astride his gigantic warhorse on the other side of the bridge. The steam rising from the horse's nostrils caught the red glow of his eyes as it lowered its head to charge. The horseman lifted his giant sword and swung at me as he approached. I stood my ground and drew my sword. Right as he was about to fall upon me and engage me in the fight, he disappeared. I guess he didn't feel up to fighting old Brom Bones.
Ew.
Greta?
You know nothing of the horseman.
I faced him. He ran. I know he's a coward.
The horseman does not run. Especially not from the likes of you.
Greta.
He was a Hessian mercenary. German swords for hire. Who came to this land on British warships, paid by British coin. The Hessians' unit of soldiers were some of the most feared fighters in all of the Hudson Valley. Once the British began to leave, they abandoned the Hessians, leaving them to be hunted by Washington's forces. Most of the battalions went home, but not the horsemen's. They dug themselves in, hiding in the woods all around Sleepy Hollow, and the Continental soldiers drew them out one by one. The horseman was the last to go. On the day he was killed, he said, 15 soldiers to their graves before they finally overpowered and disarmed him. They shot his horse first, just by the banks of the river, by the schoolhouse. Then they bent him to his knees and took off his head. As a final insult, the bloody mercenary was buried in an unmarked grave somewhere near the edge of the forest, his head taken as a souvenir. On nights when the moon is full and high, and the wind whispers names through the trees, the headless horseman rides. He goes out in search of his stolen head. When he can't find it, he takes for his own the heads of lonely travelers on the road.
Ichabod, you're shaking.
Oh, am I? I must have caught a chill. Ma'am, please continue. What does the horseman look like?
He rides a black war horse whose eyes glow red in the darkness. His uniform is dirty and caked with blood and rust. You can hear the gentle clatter of his plate armor and the pounding of his horse hooves echo down the dark roads of the hollow. It's usually the last thing a person hears.
And what does one do to escape him?
Escape? No escape. When the horseman comes for you, there's no chance of escape. He wants his head, and if he can't have it, he'll gladly take yours instead.
Greta, don't go. We have so much to talk about.
Beware, Ichabod Crane. Beware the spectral Hessian rider. When he comes for you, there will be no escaping him.
Well, that was quite a story.
Greta?
In all my years, I've never heard her utter a word.
Well, it's all true, but I don't know how she can know it. If no one lives to tell the tale of the horseman, how does an old lady know so much?
You yourself were the one that saw her nightly walk up and down the road. I would imagine in her many years of walking, she has seen a great many things the rest of us missed while we slept.
And if no one lives to tell the tale, how did you know so much about the horseman, Brahm?
Schoolmaster, are you calling me a liar again?
Once again, I'm just trying to clear a few facts up for myself.
I'll clear the facts right out of your head!
Brahm, please. Ichabod, you must know a great many ghost stories. You must share one of them with us.
I'm afraid I don't know them by heart. As a lover of the written word, I've never committed too many stories to memory. I have a rather extensive library and always preferred to read stories aloud rather than tell them.
What are some of the stories you've read?
I have one called The Wailing Widow, about a woman who lost her child in the woods. It's said that on still nights you can hear her mournful cries throughout the hills of Connecticut.
Oh, chilling.
In that same book, there's a story about a hunter ghost who preys upon those seeking small game in the woods around Hartford. He stalks the hunters as if they were animals and carries off their bodies so no one ever sees them again.
Oh, these sound positively wonderful. Do you think I could borrow this book? I do so love a good scare.
Oh, why, yes, I have that very volume down at the schoolhouse. I'll bring it back for you tomorrow.
Katrina, don't you like to read before bed? Crane, why don't you run down to the schoolhouse now and get the lady her book?
Oh, it's rather late and I'm really quite tired.
Oh, Ichabod, please. I'm not sleepy yet and I could really use a good book to read.
Yes, Crane. You'd make the lady's night. Unless you're afraid.
Afraid? No, never. It takes more than a little ghost story to rattle Ichabod Crane. My bravery is as fierce as any man's. However, I am so very tired.
It's all right, Ichabod. I'll reread something else tonight, I guess.
Well, what's the name of the book? I'll go down to the schoolhouse and get it for you, Cat.
What? No, you don't know where it is.
It's a book. I would imagine you have it on a bookshelf. It shouldn't be that hard.
No, it's packed away with some other things, and, well, you don't have a key. Fine, I'll go get it.
No, Ichabod, don't. You're scared. I don't want you to be scared on my account.
I'm not afraid, Katrina. And if you must have your book now, then I shall get it for you.
There's a good man!
I suppose the horses have all been put up for the night?
Mm-hmm.
That means I'll be walking.
Be sure to stay on the path there, Crane. Wouldn't want to get lost. And so Ichabod Crane, long of limb and lanky of stature, stood up from his chair and moved with feigned bravery to the door. The firelight elongated his shadow on the wall behind him, making him twice the man that he actually was. Katrina and Brahm watched him and whispered to one another as Baltus packed another pipe, staring absent-mindedly out the window. Ichabod took a deep breath and opened the door. The constant haze that hung over Sleepy Hollow had lifted to almost tree height as Ichabod began the long journey on foot down to the schoolhouse. He found the path that led to the bottom of the hill and started down. Immediately, all of old Greta's words came rushing back to him. Here he was, Ichabod Crane, the boy who'd feared everything, now a grown man walking a dark road alone at night with ghost stories running through his thoughts. The high, nearly full moon hung directly above, giving some relief from the crushing darkness. Ichabod came to the fork in the road and took a right,
The old covered bridge stood before him. He swallowed hard and braced himself. The first step was the hardest. Ichabod stepped onto the bridge's planks. The creak of the wood echoed through the enclosed bridge as it took Ichabod's weight. As if expecting a ghastly specter to engulf him, the gangly schoolteacher held his breath and stood still as a statue.
Nothing. Don't be a fool. It's just stories.
All at once, Ichabod found that he was halfway across the bridge. When the wind blew strong through the trees, and between the slats of the walls and the bridge, a slow chill went up the center of Ichabod's back. He had the distinct feeling he was being watched. The wind through the trees called out for Ichabod Crane. He would swear it to any man or woman living. The overwhelming fear that overtook him kept him rooted to the spot. He couldn't move for fear of what might happen. The bridge seemed to swirl and sway, and that was when he heard it. Like a shot fired from a cannon, Ichabod went back over the bridge. The urge to look back and identify his pursuer was trumped by the urge to escape as quickly as humanly possible. His long strides had Ichabod back up the hill to Van Tassel's in no time flat. It was only as he collected himself that he remembered.
You fool! The book! She wanted the book! Brom would have gotten it for her. You coward! You can't even go get a book!
Ashamed by his failure, Ichabod snuck around the back of the house and used the servant's entrance to quietly return to his room. He resolved to bring young Katrina the book tomorrow after school and apologize for his failure. He also resolved to tell her a few other things as well. The schoolmaster changed into his bedclothes and lay awake thinking of what had happened on the road. There would be very little sleep. The next morning at breakfast, Ichabod found Katrina sitting by herself at the far end of the table. Her reception of him was less than warm.
Good morning, Van Tassel family.
Master Crane, you're up early. I hope you're well.
You look as though you didn't sleep a wink.
Oh, no, I was up quite late.
Read any good books?
Katrina, may I take this seat?
You are a guest, Master Crane. You may sit where you like.
About last night.
No explanation needed, Master Crane.
Please, call me Ichabod.
No, Master Crane. I wouldn't want to assume too much of our friendship.
Katrina, something came up last night, and I was unable to find the book I was seeking. I apologize for letting you down. I plan to look again while at the schoolhouse today and bring it back directly. By the time you finish your dinner tonight, you shall have it.
Yes, well, only if it's no trouble. I wouldn't want to impose.
Nothing is too much trouble for you, fair lady.
Ichabod ate quickly and quietly. Katrina said almost nothing to him through the entire meal. Upon finishing his breakfast, he picked up his bag and off Ichabod went to the schoolhouse, head held high and determined to have today be the first day of being brave.
See, you fool. There's nothing frightening about it by the light of day, nothing at all. You let your imagination run away with you. You're a schoolmaster. You shouldn't have time for such nonsense. Ghosts are superstitions. Those stories are just that, stories.
Once again, Ichabod spent his school day with his head in a fog of dreams. He planned out to the word what he was going to say to Katrina. He decided to give her the book to keep. In the copy of Ghosts of Connecticut Colony he pulled off the shelf, he wrote a small, heartfelt inscription.
Dearest Katrina, it is with great love and admiration that I present this token unto you. May it be the first of many tokens of my love to come in the following years. Forever yours, Ichabod.
It's amazing how quickly a school day can go by when the teacher isn't paying attention. It's probably safe to say that Ichabod's pupils could have gotten away with murder that day for the mine that their pedagogue paid them. When his class was dismissed, Ichabod was ready to leave before the children were. He slipped the book into his satchel and locked up the schoolhouse for the night. Making his way up the road, he paused only once for a moment before crossing the covered bridge. Memories of the previous night came back to him, but Ichabod dismissed them in favor of his new start down the path of courage.
Up the hill, Ichabod walked as he straightened his posture and made himself look as strong and big as he possibly could. Imagine a proud, preening peacock with no feathers. This is not unlike how Ichabod Crane looked as he opened the door to his host's parlor.
Oh my, even busier than usual.
Yes, yes, Ichabod, it's wonderful that you're here. Half the village must be here. We were wondering if you'd be joining us as well.
Of course. I wouldn't miss the dinner with the Van Tassels for the world. Tell me, where is Katrina? I need to speak with her right away.
Oh, she's in the study, speaking with Baltus. I'll send for her as soon as she's through.
Hey, let's hear it for the man of the hour.
Bones, get in here and get yourself a drink.
Oh, good, Brahms arrived.
My friends, it's so good to see you all. We haven't had a group this big since July. Eat, drink, dance. We'll call for dinner service in a little while after our big surprise.
There's a surprise?
Yes, Ichabod, something grand. Just you wait. Katrina? Katrina! Master Crane would like to speak with you.
What would Master Crane like to speak with me about?
Katrina, I hope to have a moment privately with you, if you please.
It's not really the best time.
It can wait. Will you step with me into the sitting room for a moment? First of all, I have a gift for you. Here.
Ichabod, I...
No, I insist. It's a book you'll enjoy very much that I want you to keep. Please, accept it as well as my sincerest apologies for letting you down last night. Also, there's an inscription inside.
Ichabod.
Katrina, I have something to tell you. All of my life, I've been a cowardly man. I've been a man who's afraid of shadows and a man who fled from risks. I've always took the path of least resistance. It has given me nothing but mediocrity and boredom. I've decided to change that, and it starts with you, Katrina. I love you. I know we've only known each other for a short while, but I feel a tremendous amount of love and caring towards you, and I can't keep that a secret anymore. I need you to know, and I need to know that you love me too. So in the spirit of my newfound courage, I feel that you must know the truth, and that if I want something, I have to reach for it.
This isn't what I wanted, or how I wanted any of it to happen. I'm so sorry for you.
What?
Ichabod, if you're going to be brave, you'll need to learn important lessons about what happens when you reach for something outside your grasp. Something that you just can't have. I suppose in that way this will be good for you.
Pardon me, Master Crane. Katrina, we're ready for the announcement.
Yes, Father. Ichabod, I just can't. I'm sorry.
All right, quiet now. May I have your attention, please? You're probably all wondering why I've called you here. Some of you probably forgot you were invited and just showed up out of habit. Is everyone here? Yes, by my count, it looks like everyone.
Wait, where's old Greta?
That's odd, she's never missing.
Who knows where she could be? At any rate, I've called you all here for an announcement of the highest importance. It isn't often a man is blessed with perfect daughters, and I have the distinction of being one of the few who was. Perhaps some of that can be chalked up to good stock on their father's side. But I attribute it mostly to their wonderful mother. So it is with that in mind that Cornelia and I are proud to announce that our eldest daughter, Katrina, is engaged to be wed.
Yeah!
The strapping young lad you all know as Brom Bones came to me last night to ask for Katrina's hand. Knowing Brom and what a daring and brave gentleman he is, I didn't hesitate to give consent for a moment. We've still to discuss dates and location of the ceremony, so don't start asking. But know that Abraham von Brunt and Katrina van Tassel are slated to become one through marriage, and the van Tassel family couldn't be happier about it. In celebration of their impending union, let us lift these glasses, and hopefully many more this evening, to their success. Hear, hear!
Hear, hear!
Ichabod felt the swell of tears behind his eyes and a tight burning in his stomach. He'd made a fool out of himself in front of the one person in the village that mattered to him. She'd played him, or he'd been stupid. Whichever it was, Ichabod couldn't decide. All at once, his dreams of being the husband to the beautiful Van Tassel bride, an heir to the rolling Van Tassel land, shattered before his very eyes. Every hope and dream he'd had since coming to Sleepy Hollow vanished into thin air. It was all too much. He went upstairs and gathered his things, not noticing the watchful eye of Brom Bones studying his every move. Wait! School teacher! Come drink with me to celebrate! Ichabod made haste in his retreat, leaving before the levees he'd built to hold back his tears gave way, and gave him away to a room full of strangers.
Hicks!
Ichabod thought to himself.
Ignorant, stupid Hicks! Stable master!
Aye!
That mare I brought you when I first came here, Gunpowder? Bring her here with my saddle, I'm leaving.
Waiting for the stable master to tack his horse seemed to take an eternity. Ichabod stood, looking fearfully over his shoulder to see if anyone had followed him from the house. He couldn't bear to face any of them. He stood there, hating them all. Hating himself as the last rays of sunlight crept behind the mountains and darkness settled over the hollow. The moon had risen early that day and sat full and high above the valley, watching them all.
Here's your mare, sir.
Then I'll be on my way.
Ichabod and Gunpowder followed the path down Van Tassel's hill and to the fork in the road. Ichabod decided he wanted to leave right away. His books in the schoolhouse could be left behind. A sacrifice made to get him out of Sleepy Hollow and away from these awful people sooner. He turned towards the town and away from the covered bridge, and just as he was about to start towards the outskirts of the village, he heard it. There he stood, bathed in moonlight, blocking Ichabod's path.
The horseman!
He was giant. His war horse was nearly twice the size of Ichabod's old mare. Beast's eyes burned with the fires of the underworld. Atop her mammoth saddle sat the horseman in all his ghastly glory. His blood-smeared cape billowed in the wind, his armor clanked with every movement, and he raised his saber high in the air. Under one arm, he carried a pumpkin burning red inside, with a horrifying expression carved in the dude's face. Ichabod turned, Gunpowder around towards the bridge, and kicked hard. The chase began. Gunpowder had never run so fast. Ichabod held on tight and made the horse go faster with his heels. The old mare responded less and less the further they went, but the Hessian's horse held its pace.
Gunpowder, faster! Faster! Help! Help! Oh,
Gunpowder sniffed and whinnied as Ichabod laid his heels into her once more. It was at that precise moment when Ichabod turned back to see the horseman rear back on his gargantuan mount, pull his arm back as far as he could, and throw the now flaming pumpkin at Ichabod. The next morning, there was a noticeable absence at the Van Tassel breakfast table.
Cornelia, good morning, my love. Has Master Crane come down yet?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't recall seeing him much last night at all.
Katrina, are you downstairs?
Yes, Father.
You haven't seen Master Crane today, have you?
No, I haven't.
Whatever could be the matter with her?
Girls her age, you know how they are. You can never tell from one minute to the next how they're feeling.
No teacher ever turned up for class at the schoolhouse that day, or any day for a week after. The magistrate sent a request to the city for a new schoolmaster and received notification that a new one would be sent up immediately. As for Ichabod Crane, he left without a trace. Later that day, Gunpowder was found wandering by the covered bridge without any sign of her rider. Ichabod's satchel was never recovered. In the schoolhouse, they found only a few of his books and some tablets containing very bad poetry in his elegant long hand. He disappeared. The only evidence as to what happened was the remnants of a shattered, charred pumpkin found near two sets of hoofprints, one small and gentle, the other larger than any horse in Sleepy Hollow. Katrina and Brom were married before the last autumn leaves fell from the trees. Over the years, Brom took over the rolling Van Tassel farm, and the couple had five children, all fine and healthy. Brom would regale them with ghost stories after dinner each night, much to their mother's chagrin. His favorite was of the schoolmaster who'd disappeared. Another victim, the wrath of the headless horseman. As a final note, no one ever saw Greta again. Her constant presence in Sleepy Hollow vanished, and no one gave it a second thought. What part she had to play in any of this, I don't know. Perhaps she's a ghost story in and of herself. But it's fascinating to consider all the mysteries that are still tucked away beneath the rocks and rivers and trees of the Hudson Valley. It's all still there. You can feel it on still nights. If you're ever on the road outside of Terrytown and find yourself close to the river, hold still. Be silent. You may hear the horsemen riding still.
This has been The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, a broadcast from the Fireside Archive Collection. This broadcast was based on The Legend of Sleepy Hollow by Washington Irving and adapted exclusively for Fireside Radio. Fireside Radio Theater is produced by Minitru Productions and is recorded at Fireside Studios. To find out more about upcoming Fireside Radio broadcasts, visit us on the web at firesideradiotheater.com or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to see the latest news from the company. Stay tuned for more from Fireside Radio, and as always, thanks for listening.